Okay, good morning, everybody. This is Thursday, January 10th, approximately 9 a.m. This is the time and place designated for the Utah State Tax Commission open meeting. I'm Commissioner Bruce Johnson. With me is Commissioner Darcy Dixon Pignanelli, Commissioner Michael Cragen, and our Executive Director, Barry Conover. We also have a lot of people from all of the movers and shakers from the Tax Commission appear to be here. It looks like the movers are on the front row, the shakers are on the second row. The third row is a mixed bag. So the first item is to ask for public comment. I don't see any members of the public here, so we'll move on. The next item is to consider approval of the commission meeting minutes of Thursday, December 13th.
This is Commissioner Dixon. I'll move approval of the minutes.
Any discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Those minutes are approved unanimously. Consider approving the notice of scheduled meetings. Mr. Cragen, is that yours or is that just a...
Sure, I can do that. We have in our binders a proposed schedule for our regularly scheduled meetings for the 2013 calendar year. Essentially, it's the second and fourth Thursday of each month this year, except the month of November. We figured we could take Thanksgiving off. And so we need to post this each year, and I would move that we approve this and direct our staff to post it.
Could I suggest one amendment?
Sure.
I don't think there's much chance we're going to meet on December 26th.
You're probably right.
So let's...
We'll strike that one off.
Let's strike that one, and then... the motion would then be to approve this schedule as amended and to direct our staff to post it?
Correct.
Any discussion of that motion?
I just want to make sure that it's clear in the record that these are just regular proposed meeting times, but we do have other meetings that we need to post and have either to accommodate a quorum or accommodate someone being there or for a special purpose. So
that will be noted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion passes unanimously. There is an annual requirement for that the commission have Open and Public Meetings Act training. In the past, we've had someone from the Attorney General's office who has done that, but Commissioner Cragen has agreed to do that for us this year, so I'll turn the time to him.
Thank you. I do want to give a couple of disclaimers at the beginning here. I ran through this presentation with my wife last night. I'm beginning this month my 13th year of full-time public service, so I've been through a lot of these. And I commented to her last night, I says, most of the time they're long and they're boring. And after it was over, she said, well, that one was boring, but it was fast. So hopefully,
give her a hand.
So hopefully you all will at least find it concise. My other disclaimer is that I've tailored this to the stuff that just applies to this agency. There are a lot of arcane details in this law, a lot of little tidbits that don't apply to us, and so I've left them out. A couple of them I'll draw to your attention, but otherwise, here we go. Okay, the legislature has established a public policy saying that the government is doing the people's business, and whenever it's discussing the people's business or taking action on the people's business, that they need to do it in open. There's a definition that only the legislature could come up with, that an open meeting is, a meeting is open to the public unless it's closed. Okay. The definition of a meeting is the convening of a public body with a quorum present. Convening means that you're called together a public body. And a public body has these elements. It's something, a part of the state government or one of its political subdivisions. It's created by law, starting at the highest level of the Constitution and going clear down to a resolution adopted by a local government. Have to be two or more people. You can have some direct connection to tax revenue, and they have authority to do something. So if we look at the Tax Commission is a state body. It has administrative power. It's part of the executive branch of government. It's created by the Constitution. When we have a full commission, there are four people. Not only do we expend revenue, we're actually the agency that disperses tax revenue, and we're supported entirely by tax revenue. And then we have various authority as listed there on the slide, and there's others besides just that. So the Tax Commission is a public body. Now, in addition to the four tax commissioners, there's also an executive director. He's part of the executive branch. He exercises administrative authority. He has the authority to make certain decisions and do certain things. His office is created by statute, relationship to the tax revenue authority and so on, but he's only one person, therefore he's not a public body. So when he's acting as a public official, he does not have to comply with the Open and Public Meetings Act. Even if he has all of his division directors together and he goes around the room and asks for their opinion, maybe even gives them some vote in making a decision, ultimately he's the one who makes the decision. As President Bush used to say, he's the decider. As President Truman used to say, the buck really stops with him. And so it's one person, doesn't have to follow the Open and Public Meetings Act. But we do have a couple of other boards in our agency. The Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division has an advisory board, and they meet all of the tests of a public body, and so they have to follow the act. The same with the Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee. They meet all of the tests, they have to follow the act in their meetings. Okay, so back to our definition. A meeting is the convening of a public body with a quorum present. So let's talk about what is a quorum. The Open and Public Meetings Act has a default definition that says a simple majority of the members is a quorum unless it's otherwise defined by statute. We have in the tax code a statute that says that three members of the commission constitute a quorum, and this is kind of important, especially right now. You might remember that if we need to have discussions that we don't want to have in a public meeting, because no action is taken, but we're talking about something that's confidential or sensitive, we usually say, well, we can have two commissioners meet with you, because that's not a quorum. It's not three people. If we were under the simple majority rule, since there are currently only three tax commissioners, anytime you had two tax commissioners together, you would have a quorum, which would mean we'd have to have three meetings instead of two meetings to get the work done. So because the statute says that it takes three members of the commission, even though there are currently only three members of the commission, that's still the statutory definition of a quorum. For the MVED board, their statute mirrors the Open and Public Meetings Act. It says a majority of the members constitutes a quorum. For the Farmland Committee, there is no definition in the tax code, so we go to the default and use the simple majority. Okay, here's how to host an open meeting. Heather, my wife, suggested that I should insert a maniacal laugh at this point because it reminded her of hosting a murder. For a public body that meets regularly, they have to post an annual notice of their regular meeting schedule. That's the document that we just approved so that it can be posted. If they're going to let their members participate by telephone or some other electronic means, they have to have a resolution in place. And I've noted down there at the bottom of the screen the rule that the Tax Commission has adopted for electronic meetings. Anytime they're going to have a meeting, they have to give 24 hours notice of the meeting date, time, place, and the agenda. They have to post it in the office, online, and then send it to a newspaper reporter. Charlie Roberts has a mailing list, and he just blasts out our agenda twice a month so that people know. As you can see, we fill the room. He does get calls every once in a while asking, what is this? And once we explain it to him, they decide, yeah, I thought it was going to be boring, I'm not coming. Okay, the agenda has to identify the topics that are going to be considered with reasonable specificity. If you look at our agenda, some items are flagged with the phrase action item. And that's in response to this requirement that we make it clear this is what the commission will be voting on. We have to record the meetings. We have to make those recordings available to the public to listen to within 3 days. We have to have minutes of our meetings. And we can't say that the minutes are protected until we adopt them. If we have a draft ready, we have to let the public review the draft as soon as in a reasonable amount of time, I believe is what the law says. Okay, let's talk about closed meetings. There is, with two exceptions that don't apply to us, there is nothing in the law that requires that a public body go into a closed meeting. Closed meetings are completely optional. Here are the things that a public body can discuss in a closed meeting. Most of the time in the tax commission, about the only thing we go into closed session for is for pending or reasonably imminent litigation, so that we can visit with the Attorney General's office to talk with them about the strategy for matters that are before the courts. We have a couple of times met to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual. Here's how you have a closed meeting. You have to start in an open meeting. You have to put in the minutes the reason, the location, and the names of the people who voted to go into closed session. You also have to put in the names of the people who vote against going into closed session. I forgot to read on the previous slide, 2/3 of the members of the public body have to approve going into closed session. And then you have to announce in the meeting where the meeting is going to be held and the reason for it. Can't take any action while you're in the meeting, and taking of minutes is optional. On the other hand, with two exceptions, making a recording of the closed meeting is required. The exceptions are when you're discussing an individual or you're talking about security. And in that case, instead of making a recording, the person who's running the meeting signs a sworn statement saying that the only thing that was discussed in the closed meeting were those two topics. And then if you're going to take any action, the public body has to return to an open meeting to do it. The statute says that some meetings are not meetings. The three that apply to us are a chance meeting. So if the tax commissioners all happen to be at City Creek shopping one Saturday and run into each other, that's not a meeting. However, they can't just show up at City Creek every Saturday in the hopes that they run into each other so that they can get some things done without having to post an agenda and have a public meeting. You can't use a chance meeting as a way to circumvent the statute. Likewise, when we come to the annual employee party over at the park and all of us are there, that's a social gathering. So we don't have to follow the Open and Public Meetings Act. We don't have to post an agenda or anything like that. But we also can't use those social occasions as a way to get around the Public Meetings Act. The statute also specifically says that when the tax commission is considering confidential tax matters, even though there's a quorum present and we're a public body and we're taking action on the public's business, that is not a meeting, and we don't have to follow the specific requirements of the Open and Public Meetings Act. And here's a list of the things that the statute says are confidential tax matters. Yes, sir.
That applies to both our hearings and our deliberations.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Item number 4 on this list is what really caused some conflict between the Open and Public Meetings Act and then our confidentiality laws. And that's what we took to the legislature and said, hey, there's a conflict. And so they put into place the statute saying that when we're talking about confidential tax matters, we're not having a meeting. And they listed the other 5 items because those are the ones that we do regularly. So they put that in there. You'll notice down there in the caption, there's actually a reference to a Supreme Court decision, a Utah Supreme Court decision from 1979. And in that decision, the Supreme Court said that when a body is acting in its judicial capacity, like the Tax Commission does when they're conducting hearings or deliberating the orders from their hearings, that the Open and Public Meetings Act does not apply. So we have a judicial decision saying this law doesn't apply. The bill that put this matter into statute for us also acknowledges the case law that establishes that our deliberations and our hearings are not subject to the Open and Public Meetings Act. So here's how you have a confidential meeting. First of all, you have to be a member of the Tax Commission. Second, you have to keep confidential recordings and minutes, except for initial hearings and deliberations. And those are spelled out in the statute, and then we've adopted a rule that tells exactly how we're going to follow those procedures. Okay, here's kind of the leftovers that we haven't talked about. The Open and Public Meetings Act does not prohibit me from sending an email to my colleagues on the commission to let them know something. I've learned something at the Capitol or at a meeting away from the office, and I just want to make sure that everybody knows the information. I can send them an email, and that's not a public meeting. We don't have to post a notice and so forth. In public meetings, everybody is welcome and everybody is allowed to be there, but that right is not absolute. If somebody's disrupting the meeting, we can have them removed. If for some reason a public body tries to take action in violation of the Public Meetings Act, then the courts can void that final action. It has to be done within 90 days for everything except bonds. If we're dealing with a bond, it has to be done within 30 days. The easiest way to fix that problem is to put up a notice, have another meeting, and vote the right way. And then the Attorney General's office or a county attorney can sue a public body to force them to follow the Open and Public Meetings Act if they're not. If somebody thinks that a public body has violated the closed meeting provisions or the Tax Commission's confidential meeting provisions, a judge can review the recording in camera. That means that he does it privately or she does it privately. And if they determine that the law has been violated, then they release the information so that the public knows what the public body discussed. If they determine that no violation has occurred, then they just dismiss the challenge and the recording remains confidential. And there is a criminal penalty for members of public bodies who violate the closed meeting section of the law and those who aid and abet. So our henchwoman, Krista over here, if she tries to help us violate the closed meeting requirements, she could be subject to a Class B misdemeanor. The last thing is that we're required to do this training every year. Congratulations, you survived. Happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Any questions for Commissioner Craig?
I do have a question. Is there an exemption for emergencies?
Yes. If a public body needs to have a meeting and it's not possible to give a 24-hour notice because of some emergent circumstance, they can hold that meeting. We need to task Charlie to do his very best to find a reporter somewhere that he can tell that we're going to have the meeting. But otherwise, you just do your best if there's an emergency.
Charlie has contacts.
Say again. Yes, he does. He uses his Twitter feed for that. That's why he has a Twitter account.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
My capacity for boredom is legendary, but I wasn't bored.
Me neither.
Okay, the next item on the agenda, approve the submission of proposed rules. Commissioner Cragen, that's also yours, I believe.
Yes, thank you. We have just one item that we need to send to the Division of Administrative Rules. It's a very minor and technical correction to Section R8659I46. This was brought to our attention by Amy Nielsen-Larios, one of our administrative law judges. I'm guessing it was while she was working on an appeal. And she noticed that on line 7, that we had an inconsistent internal reference. A few years ago, there was an amendment made to this section and the internal numbering was changed to fit a more current convention, and we didn't change a reference to a subsection from the letter to a number, and so you see that change is on line 7. We're hoping that everybody who has to review this will agree that this is a non-substantive change and that we won't have to take public comment and that we won't actually have to vote on it again. But we do need to take action today, and I would move that we submit it to the Division of Administrative Rules.
Any questions? All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Aye. That motion passes unanimously.
And then the next one is a proposed amendment to Section R8611A12 that we sent up last fall. This was in response to a request from Salt Lake County that we add the words "or allowed" on lines 26 and 37. You might remember that we actually sent this up one time and we missed the line 26 change, and so we had to withdraw that rule and send this amended amendment up for public comment. The public comment period has now ended. I'm not aware that we've received any public comments, so we're ready to adopt the change, and I would move that we adopt the amendment as presented.
Are there any questions for Commissioner Cragen on this? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion also passes unanimously.
Thanks.
The next item is to consider tax commission positions on pending legislation. Ms. Solarzik, would you like to come up? Introduce yourself for the record.
This is Lynn Solarzik. There was one bill that is up for consideration as a B support bill by the commission. It's Senate Bill 37, time period for paying a tax, interest, or penalties after a judicial decision. This is a quirk we found, actually a conflict in the law. The one place that we knew about said that the time period for paying a tax or interest after a judicial decision was 30 days, and if you didn't pay within the 30 days, there would be penalty and interest. And that's what we were aware of, and that's how our systems have been programmed. And I ran across another statute in the fall where it talked about 45-day period. So I notified legislative research and told them there was a conflict in the code, and did they want to have the Revenue and Taxation Interim Committee take care of that, which this bill does do that. And that's all it does then is take out the conflicting language that matches our current interpretation.
Okay, are there any questions for Ms. Solarzik? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion.
So Commissioner Dixon, I move that we support that pending legislation.
Any further discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And just, can you just refresh our memory, because we're just getting into this again, what procedures we're going to be following now in terms of A bills and B bills and not taking action on what used to be C bills?
What makes them the
no, recommendation? Just
we have no A bills this year. We have there were no bills that the agency is sponsoring. And so as the bills come in, is this what you mean?
Yeah.
Commissioner Johnson and I meet and I go over the bills with him, and Commissioner Johnson makes some recommendations about whether these are bills that we're interested in attending meetings for, whether they're bills, and if so, what commissioner would be responsible for that bill, and if it would be a bill that we took no action on, or a bill that we would support, or potentially a bill that we would oppose. If we would support it, it would be a B. If we opposed it, I presume it would be a D, and we're calling C bills the no action bills. And then, of course, the other commissioners review that initial cut at how we're going to consider bills, and I guess we'll hear about it if there are any concerns or questions.
I guess that was, I did have an inquiry from Commissioner Dixon as to how that initial recommendation was made, and I didn't want to make it clear that I would encourage every commissioner to have a discussion with you about all the bills to make sure that they are fully aware of what's being presented, because their views may well, they may have a perspective that differs from mine. So it's certainly not my intent to limit what we review. So consistent with the Open and Public Meetings Act, you probably need to work with Commissioner Dixon and Commissioner Cragen to make sure that they're also being fully apprised of what's being up there. And from time to time, any of us may be called to comment or respond to questions on any bill if we happen to be up there. So. Commissioner Dixon, did you have anything further you wanted to address on that? Mr. Cragen?
No, thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much. Hopefully it will be a peaceful session. Executive Director's Report, Mr. Conover.
Thank you so much. Barry Conover, Executive Director. First of all, as you noticed on I-15 and Legacy Highway this morning, we're going to have a major winter storm at 4 o'clock. So, you know, it doesn't start until 4, so you can leave at 3:59 and see if you can beat the storm. So, there's just a couple of things. I'd like to inform the commission and the great body we have here in our open meeting. We'll begin our IRS audit on February the 5th, and it'll be about a three-day audit. It includes a task force coming in from the Internal Revenue Service, comprising of more likely of four people, and then also Booz Allen and Hamilton, their technical support group. The IRS will be coming in with them and be looking at all of our technology, our schisms, and all of the stuff that we have to do to verify that. They have sent us, at the beginning of the month, information that they're requesting prior to coming into this, to do this audit. And Dolores Furness and Bobette Phillips has been working on it for the last 2 weeks and still got more to do, and just in preparation. And so they'll be looking at all of our systems, and that would include JustWare and so forth. So we need to just want to let the commission know that that's happening. We are in the stages of data classification under the new organization of the Security Council, statewide Security Council, and we'll have that data presented to the council on January 15th. And that is identifying all of the systems, applications throughout the commission, and classifying those as critical, restricted, private, or public. And then our next effort will be working on a cyber risk assessment, and that's going to take us some time too. This is becoming quite a formidable effort, and it's taking a lot of time, and but it will be beneficial at the end of the day, that we will make sure that our security of the public's data is secure now with all of our systems, but we will be establishing things that are policies, procedures, auditing criteria, and schedules that will make sure that all of our staff are following those security initiatives.
And that Security Council is a statewide body?
It is. It's comprised, it's formed under the Office of the Governor, GOMB. I was asked to be the chair of that council. We have Dr. David Patton, Mark of the Health Department, Francine Gianni of Commerce, Lance the Davenport of Public Safety, Mark Van Orden of DTS, Kristen Cox of GOMB, and it's interesting because a lot of the agencies have defaulted their security to DTS over the years, and we have as well in some of our application profiles that our employees use and stuff. It's being handled by DTS. We need to make that change and bring it back in-house, and so we'll be working on doing that as well.
I just wanted to particularly note that that's a very high priority for the governor's office in view of a lot of things that have, or at least a few things that have happened recently. And I think the fact that they ask Mr. Conover to be the chair reflects the very great high regard in which he is held statewide, and it's a real feather in the tax commission's cap that he was asked to take that responsibility. And like, thank you for representing the tax commission so ably.
Thank you for that, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it so much. As you've noted, we're wrapping up on the painting. It should be completed the end of this, middle of this month. They will be doing some tile laying work in the stairwells rather than painting the concrete, and that'll be one of the last things that they will do. So I want to send a letter of appreciation to DFCM, and we'll be doing that for the efficient way of doing it. And our staff, you folks out there have had your folks move away from walls and do those types of things. I know it's been a disruption. We so appreciate the way that our divisions have responded to that. And it looks a little brighter. I've heard a lot of good comments about there really is the end of a hall. You can see the end of the hall. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that's all I have, unless any of you folks have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Conover? Do any of the commissioners have anything they'd like to present? Commissioner Dix? Commissioner Craven?
Were you going to mention our new commissioner and talk about that? Or?
Probably a good idea. If any of you don't know, Robert Perro, county auditor?
Clerk auditor.
Clerk auditor from Carbon County, has been appointed by the governor to succeed Commissioner Mark Johnson. And we are awaiting confirmation by the Senate. We hope that once they convene in the next few weeks that they will move quickly to approve that appointment, and we'll move ahead with a new commissioner. The other thing, I guess, it seems appropriate given the fact we have such a good turnout here and it is the first meeting of the year, to just thank you for all the work that you do and for all the work that your employees do. We get, from time to time, we get a little blame, but mostly we get the credit for work that's being done by other people. And the work we do is difficult. People don't like to pay taxes. They're willing to pay taxes, but they don't like it. They don't like to deal with the tax commission if they don't have to. There's just a psychological impediment for most people to deal with the tax commission, and they're not always pleasant. And we hear very good reports about what our people are doing. I would like you to express to your people our gratitude for the good work they do, our recognition of the fact that it's often difficult work, it's often thankless work, but I hope sometimes it's also very satisfying work. And I just want to thank you and your folks for all that you do for the commission, because really you are the agency. It's the three of us, hopefully soon to be the four of us commissioners, really couldn't do anything on our own. So we're grateful to you for what you do. Anything else to come before the commission at this time? I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.